Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited for all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. Thank you for inviting us into your living rooms or wherever you watch VFN TV. And, of course, a special shout-out for all of those that are listening on VFN Radio across the nation and the world. Joining me in the studio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Hello, sir.
Hey, man.
It's good to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. We have a lot to talk about, as we do every day. And we are just honored, man. Mm-hmm. Just honored to be here. And to have this moment with you, because it is just a moment. But we're going to be talking about some of the things that are happening right now, and God's the news, kind of behind the news perspective. But, you know, this week, you know, Scotland is taking this historic vote to say, hey, we're going to leave the United Kingdom. And, man, I was doing a little research. I totally forgot. You know, this is Scotland. This is a 300-year union that they, you know, 307 years they've been together. Mm-hmm. But they've been battling back and forth with England for a long time.
Really?
I mean, you do remember Braveheart, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
William Wallace, man. He was, you know.
He was the man.
He was the man. But that, and we talked on VFN TV about Mary Scott in the segment,
that's right.
America, how we got here and how do we stay here. It was her son, King James, who was the one who authorized the King James Version Bible. And so she had a whole bunch of this whole lineage, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here. But I thought, anyway, quite interesting. But we want to just pray that whatever man decides, there's so many implications they're saying, so many things can come out of this. Mm-hmm. We just want to just, like all things, just pray right now that, you know, God's will be done. Because, you know, right now it just seems like every domino connects. No more does a country do something on their own. You look what's happening in Nigeria, and you would think, well, that's just happening over there in that country. No, it's Ebola. You know what I'm saying? It's coming here. You know, the president just said, hey, this is a homeland security issue. We have to deal with this. And so no man's an island, no country's an island for sure. And the world has gotten so small, so small. So keep that in your prayers. We're also going to be talking about our servicemen and women. We are so proud of them. You know, every time I see a military veteran, I just love to stop and talk to them and thank them for their service. We have one here with us today, Steve Kalaszewski, Marine. And I'm just so appreciative of them. But we're going to be talking about some things in the news that just came out about how four words now they're allowed to omit in their enlistment, oath of enlistment, and you probably can help us out with that. We're going to be leaning on you on this. But you're going to be interested. And we're going to see some encouraging things that some, I believe they're Marines. You're going to see some Marines in action, maybe in a way you've never seen them before. And I believe this will bring a smile to your face. And we're also going to be talking about the NFL today. Stay close. It's not going to be about these highlights or something like that, but we're going to talk about the bigger picture maybe of what's happening and what's going on and what's going on with the NFL. Mm-hmm. My goodness. But before we get there, I want to share with you the Air Force is being reported by USA Today of all things to omit four words to take out of this oath of enlistment. They are now allowed to take out, so help me God. Now, you took an oath. Talk to us about what's an oath of enlistment.
Well, when you go to whatever branch that you want to sign up to, they have something called basically your delayed entry program, where you go and you kind of like learn, you know, just real quick, the beginning preparations before you go to boot camp. And they have a place called MEPS, which is your military entrance processing station. I don't even know how I remember that. But it's basically like your regional main office where all the four branches come. They'll do your medical checks. They'll do your eye checks and everything. And that's pretty much where you're there for a few hours before that big bus comes and takes everybody to their respective areas around the nation to their boot camps. And before that, that's when you do the quote-unquote raise your right hand. And that's when you're basically pledging that your commitment to your four-year agreement to whatever branch or whatever your contract is, and you're saying, I state your name, you know, do solemnly swear, and you're basically giving the oath that you're pledging your life for those 4 years commitments or your 8 years or however wow. long to say, I will serve in the United States Marine Corps and I will fight all enemies, foreign and domestic, and after the whole thing, and they say, so help me God. Mm. And that's across the board, Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Coast Guard, everyone, the National Guard, if you're even a reservist, everyone is saying this before they leave the MEPS area to
and
go to the boot camp.
Officially, they're officially become a soldier, officially become part of the military at that point.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if you signed before or after, but that's a critical step.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the room where you've got like the nice American flag with the yellow tassels. You have each of the seals for each of the other branches. And it's just like, are we going to go in? Are we going to go in? Is now the time? And it's like, that's a
defining moment.
Yeah, it's a pivotal moment.
Wow. This has happened in the Air Force. This has just came out. Air Force nixes, so help me God, as
wow.
a requirement. And they have the option not to. And it's like, man, you're about to go into harm's way. You're about to defend our nation against a serious, you know, any enemy with serious enemies these days mm-hmm. that are not playing around. Oh, we need God. We need God in America. We need God to help us. But before you get discouraged, although you see that happening, remember there's always two narratives always flowing mm-hmm. at the same time. And that may seem discouraging because we know that this is not true of all the servicemen. We know many servicemen that love God, that believe, so help me God. mm-hmm. And but when you make statements like this, because maybe one person or a few other people want to become quote-unquote politically correct, you know, it just puts a cast of doubt over the entire branch or the military. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch this video that came to my attention. It was on Facebook, posted by a woman by the name of, I believe, Mary Pardee Baldwin, and this thing has went viral. You're mm-hmm. going to see servicemen, I believe they're Marines, we'll let Steve tell us, singing these are the days of Elijah. You gotta see this.
These are the days of Elijah. Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses. Righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials. Of still we are the voice in the
absolutely amazing. It's beautiful. These are Marines worshiping Jesus. I mean, how awesome is that? Steve, talk to how many Marines? You have to see this. I mean, they're waving, they're moving side to side, brother to brother.
Hoorah, gentlemen. Hoorah.
Oh, talk to us. That's good stuff right there. How many do you think were in this room?
There was probably a good 200-300 guys in there. And I mean, Marine Corps. I mean, I just want to say for those that are listening, I don't know as if anyone has told you the benefits of what the United States Marine Corps can offer you. that is motivating. That wow. is so awesome.
Is that awesome? That,
you know what's so beautiful when you think about that, and you see these guys, their arms are around one each other. They're just worshiping God, talking about Elijah, and these are the days of the. I mean, it's just like, and knowing the fact that. We're going to go to war, but it's like you have those connections, you have that relationship, and it's just like that's a cherishable moment right there. Like, that's powerful.
Is that powerful? How important is that for a serviceman, a servicewoman to have a relationship with God when they go in? You know, they're in the military. They're going to battle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about even when I was in, there was a chaplain that on my deployments, and he actually gave me one of my first Bibles, and in that, and I actually still have it, but he gave me something that was called the Marine's Prayer, and it was basically the prayer just like, okay, I'm going out on this mission, God direct my steps, God direct my shots, and Lord, so help me God of all the things that I do, and I'm paraphrasing this, but it's just like, to know where you're going, and to know the fact that God's with you, that God's going to guide you. That's beautiful.
That's amazing. We're going to go to a quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about the importance of honoring God, the importance of an awesome military, and how, you know, what we can do as civilians to encourage the men and women that serve us every day when they put their lives on the front line to defend our freedom. We appreciate you. We're going to talk more about that when we get back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for one of my favorite segments, our trivia quiz.
Yeah, today's trivia question is, Thomas Jefferson had a Quran in his library because A, during the First Barbary War, government-backed Muslim terrorists of Algiers, Morocco, Tunis, and Tripoli of the Barbary Coast had attacked, enslaved, and held American merchant sailors for ransom. Or B, in 1786, he and John Adams met with Tripoli's Muslim envoy in an attempt to end the piracy off of the Barbary Coast. C, to understand why the Muslims would make war upon nations that had done them no injury. D, attempt to study and understand why the Muslim envoy said, quote, that it was founded on the laws of their prophet, that it was written in their Quran, that all the nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners. Or is the answer E, all of the above?
Well, of course the answer is E, all of the above. This is the truth about Jefferson's Quran. We're going to quote from a letter written in 1786 by Thomas Jefferson and John Adams describing their diplomatic initiative with Tripoli.
Quote, we took the liberty to make some inquiries concerning the ground of their pretenses to make war upon nations who had done them no injury and observed that we considered all mankind as our friends who had done us no wrong, nor had given us any provocation. The ambassador of Tripoli answered us that it was founded on the laws of their prophet, that it was written in their Quran, that all nations who should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim or Muslims who should be slain in battle was sure to go to paradise.
The jihad ideology currently attacking peace around the world isn't new. Jefferson dealt with it in the 1700s.
In 1786, as an ambassador, Thomas Jefferson had a face-to-face experience with it, and being the scholar that he was, he had a Quran put in his library to try and understand the terrorism in the Barbary region and why a religion would attack those that had done them no harm. During the rule of the Barbary Muslims, they captured Europeans and Americans from ships and by raiding coastal towns and then sold them into slavery. When Jefferson became president, he sent the Navy to the region to protect American ships and also sent Marines to the shores of Tripoli to stop the piracy, murder, and mayhem. Does the Marine Corps hymn sound more familiar now? From the shores of Tripoli.
That is why he had a Quran. So the next time somebody brings up the fact that Jefferson had a Quran, tell them, oh yeah, I know this. It was because of the War of Tripoli and the Barbary Coast Muslim pirates. And as Christians, it's important to read and research the facts all out for yourself.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
Can your kindergartner be told they cannot share a song with the class because it mentions Jesus? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
A couple of weeks ago, my son's in kindergarten. The teacher allowed a couple other students to sing a song that they wanted to share with the class. A couple of days after that, my son went up to the teacher, asked to share a song about Jesus, and she basically said, no, we can't do that at school.
Well, that's incorrect. If it's if the students are allowed to perform music and it's music of their choice, your son should have been able to sing the song about Jesus. We've had dozens of cases of those over the year, and the teacher's just absolutely incorrect. It's not only an overreaction, she's wrong on this. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll get you in touch with our legal staff and get some help to you right away.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
People are getting saved. People are getting on fire. People are getting filled. People are coming from all around. And what you say, what? So you come to a point, this is what happens. And when you give yourself to God and you want everything that God's got, you find that there's people that don't want everything God's got. You got to say, you know what, I want God and I want Him only. If you want God too, we get along. But if you don't want God, you're not going to want me, because I want everything He has to offer. He has a promise for me. Jonathan, I'm going to be just like that kid with that father and say, you promised me the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And just before we took the break, we had a chance to see Marines, 200, 300 deep, worshiping the Lord. These are the days of Elijah. I mean, they were singing, swinging side to side. I mean, they had hand movements and everything. They were getting it down. But it was so awesome to see that. And I think about what's happening right now at this very moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, the United States is virtually at war. I mean, I know that the president says we're not at war, but I mean, we're at war. We have military planes that are flying overseas, they're dropping bombs, you know what I mean? I think that would constitute war. We're trying to build this coalition, allegedly, but there's no coalition. No one's joining. There's no coalition. None. Mm-mm. And yet the president says we're not going to put any boots on the ground. We're just going to put a couple. And then just recently, one of the top
boot.
a boot, right? One of the top generals opens the door for, you know, saying, yeah, maybe we're probably going to need some boots on the ground. And then former Defense Secretary Robert Gates is saying in an interview, yep, they're going to need some boots on the ground. And then our president comes on the air and says, no, we're not going to put any boots in the ground. Then he comes back, well, maybe, it's like, wait a minute.
We got to get on the same page.
This is confusion.
Yeah.
Who's the author? This is confusion. How do we expect our men and women to go and defend us, to defend freedom? I mean, we don't want ISIS on our borders, and already, I mean, Homeland Security is saying that a day before 9/11, four terrorists were already in the United States. They climbed over the border. There's a huge number. I mean, it was hundreds of thousands that are trying to come in the border every single year. Mm-hmm. And they say that about close to 150,000 have already crossed over people, mm-hmm. not necessarily terrorist people, without mm-hmm. them knowing, and just all these different things. But you look at it and you're saying, man, what, you know, this is confusion. How do we expect, you know, our men and women to go and defend us if the leadership is just confused? They don't know where we're going. This is war, not war. I mean, what, we need to be behind them. We need to be definitive. We need mm-hmm. to take clear action, and we need to eradicate these guys that are cutting Christians' heads off, you know, cutting and butchering and destroying these folks all over the Middle East. And their desire, they said, see you in New York. I mean, their desire is to put an ISIS flag over the White House. Mm-hmm. They've already cut the head off three people. I don't think they're joking. I think this is serious. And we don't want to play around. And our servicemen and our servicewomen deserve clear, definitive strategy when they're putting themselves in harm's way. These are our sons. These are our daughters. While we still have Sergeant Tamarisi still in prison in Mexico, my understanding is that there are veterans right now, two veterans that are walking 300 miles right now to the Washington, D.C., to ask the president to make a phone call to have them released, Sergeant Tamarisi, right now. It's happening right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're hearing this broadcast, you know, but at the moment, listen, we want to get behind our servicemen and our servicewomen, tell them how much you appreciate them. And when I see 200 to 300 Marines worshiping, singing, these are the days of Elijah, like that, it brings great hope, and it should remind us all to pray for them on a consistent basis. I remember that when I was growing up, I had a pastor who served in Vietnam, and he told me, he says, you know, you heard of this movie called Hamburger Hill? And I did at the time, and I don't remember watching most of it, and I was young, so no telling what was in it. So we recommend Clear Play. But he says, I was one of the guys in that movie. And I said, you were? He says, yeah, you know, I was raised a Christian boy and Christian family and all this type of stuff, he's telling me. And he had a walk with the Lord, and he brought his Bible with him. And apparently there's a scene many, many years ago, there's a scene in the movie where they're on this hill, and I think mm-hmm. they got to take the hill, and these guys are shooting back and forth, and one of the guys in the movie is a Christian, and he has a Bible with him, and they're like, no, they don't pick up a gun. You just pray. You just pray. You just pray. And that's what he did. That was him. He was the guy with the Bible, and he prayed, and he says, that was me. And to think that how much, you know, I've heard other military people say that, you know, there's no atheist in the fox den. You know, everybody wants to
foxhole.
Foxhole. Everybody wants to know God. And but we have an opportunity every day to pray for our servicemen, that they will know the Lord, that have a personal relationship with Him. We want to support our chaplains in all different places. You'd be surprised, and chaplains do amazing, amazing work. You know, the fire department has a chaplain, police department have a chaplain, your military have a chaplain. There's chaplains everywhere. And they, a lot of times, are right there in the heat of action. You know, they're on the front lines, and they play such an important role. But we want to get behind our military. We want to pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, I mean, I've encountered more than one chaplain who's been traveling wherever they're going, and I think about how much, you know, seeds were sown into my life from the chaplain before I even knew the Lord, because any time that we'd go out on a mission, it's just, God was just, you know, drawing me to Himself. And how many times that man prayed for me, prayed for my team, prayed for the platoon before we went on a mission. It's like, thank them. They are impacting lives. They are that, you know, you think about in the Bible how God has, you know, established those that are praying for leadership, praying for whoever. And it's like they play a significant role being that voice of prayer when we're continents away.
Yeah, absolutely important. We want to make sure that you continue to do your very best to recognize these brave men and women that serve us each and every day and are willing to go to the front lines and to confront evil so that we wouldn't have to hear at home. We salute you. We honor you. Thank you for all that you do. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand. Maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to talk about, man, what is going on with the NFL, the National Football League? I mean, I know this is Pat's, one of his favorite sports, but right now, I mean,
one of them, yes.
You know, ping pong is the other one, but right now, we're in week three. Is it week three?
Mm-hmm.
Week three of the NFL. How many weeks are there in a season, Pat?
Well, 16 in the regular season.
16 in the regular season. We're in week three, and the NFL is making more headlines for what's happening off the field than actually what's happening, you know, on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is going on? You're seeing players that are having, you know, tons of issues, a wide variety of them, and we're not here to make any kind of judgments upon what's happened in any of these men's lives. I mean, the media and a lot of people are doing, you know, a horrible job on that,
yeah, right,
pointing people's failures out and things of that nature. That's not what we want to talk about here today. But you got to think about, like, man, what is going on there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a media frenzy that is highlighting people's errors, highlighting people's mistakes. I mean, some of these things allegedly have been committed by players. These are acts of violence. You know, some of them are known. There's video, stuff like that. But, I mean, pointing, criticizing, judging. I haven't seen the first person, I was thinking about this, Pat, the first person to rise up yet and say, hey, you know, or media outlets say, we're going to give these guys, you know, some therapy or counseling or anything. They're just, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. blasting them.
Bashing them, yeah.
Bashing them. And now, because of public opinion, a lot of these owners and the commissioners, they're making these decisions to throw these players, you know, off the team, suspending them, not letting them play, just all, you know, and it's all because of, you know, dollars and cents. You know, once public opinion gets out there, now it's, mm-hmm. these guys get really concerned about, should we put this player on, or we don't want a backlash from you know, people, or, the you know, negative news. And for, I mean, it's like 3 solid weeks from the beginning of this season, all you have seen is just one headline after the other of just negative news regarding the National Football League. And now the commissioner, Goodell,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't even come out. I mean, they're like, where is he? We can't see him. He's not even coming out there saying. And I just can't help to think about John Paul Jackson's prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Paul Jackson had prophetic word headlines. He saw papers coming out. And one of the prophetic words was, NFL postpones all games until answer found. That was a headline. Well, here's the other interesting thing. There's so many incidences right now where these NFL players have had domestic violence, charges, physical assaults, even murder. I mean, this has happened. There's a long list. I mean, there's what, maybe 8 or 9. I don't want to get into detail naming names and stuff like that. But there's about 8 or 9 football players that have had physical things going on in their lives that either hurt someone or. And so, like, what's going on with this? There's a lawsuit that just came to surface here. I think they just rendered a decision that the NFL players were bringing, I believe, against the NFL because of head trauma, concussions. And that's something we talked about NFL on VFN TV regarding, hey, maybe this is that.
Right.
And we're looking at this and we're saying, wait a minute, what's going on? What's going on? Well, just July 14th, and NFL's reporting this on their website, Pat, you'll like to know this, that a federal judge on Monday, this was back in July, granted preliminary approval to a landmark deal that would compensate thousands of former NFL players for concussion-related claims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the ruling by the U.S. District Judge Anita Brody in Philadelphia came about 2 weeks after the NFL agreed to remove $675 million cap on damages.
Wow.
Okay, $675 million cap on damages, and now more than 4,500 former players have filed suit, some accusing the lead of just a whole bunch of stuff, you know, but they include former Dallas Cowboys running back Tony Dorsett, you know, which is Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Chicago quarterback, Bears, Jim McMahon, who now suffers from dementia.
Yeah.
And you look at that, it's like, is there a correlation between these concussions? Is there a correlation between this head trauma with all of the violence that's taken place or is coming to light right now with these NFL players? I mean, are we getting them help? Are we getting them counseling? People are watching the games, and they're loving the aggression. They're loving the what's happening on the field. But are we caring about these individuals when they get off the field? When the 16 weeks is over, you know, what are we doing about that?
Right.
But look at the big picture now. You have all this negative stuff happening, a league that's in complete turmoil, right? And then all of a sudden you have a football player. He goes by the name of RG3. And give us his official name. Robert what?
Robert Griffin III.
Robert Griffin III. He's a quarterback for the Washington Redskins. And he's giving a press conference. And before the press conference, he has a T-shirt. And you're probably seeing this on your screen that says, "No Jesus, no peace." Allegedly, he was told that he could not wear that on television.
Wow.
So he had to turn the shirt inside out. That's the second picture you're seeing. Turned inside out.
Wow.
Because of Nike. Because because allegedly there's a contract where if you can't wear any kind of shirt or jersey during a press conference that doesn't have a Nike emblem.
Right.
However, another one of his teammates, his name is Ryan Kerrigan, did a press conference, and he had a T-shirt on. We don't have that? Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
His T-shirt was marketing another, you know, sporting thing. And it had nothing to do with Nike, but they didn't have a problem with him wearing that T-shirt. Mm. So the one that says knowing Jesus and no peace, that's the one that we say he can't wear, but yet that same rule doesn't apply to somebody else. It's nothing to do with Ryan because, you know, he's just a player, right? But you look at the big picture of any message that the NFL would need to get out this week is, hey, I think we need to know Jesus and we need to have peace. Of any message, and just look at what's happening. Why, you know, anything having to do with Jesus always gets hammered, always gets hammered in the public eye. And one of the guys right now that could be the face of the NFL, who you know, they said they didn't want many reasons why they said many teams did not want to pick up Tim Tebow to be part of their football team. And this has been already said. This has been out there. They said they didn't want the media scrutiny. They didn't want the circus that would surround a player like Tim Tebow because he's outspoken in his faith, because you know he's going to talk about Jesus. We don't want that. But what is the NFL getting right now? Mm. Nothing but media scrutiny because of some of the things that their players have done and just all this stuff going on. And they have a guy like RG3 who's doing a press conference with a shirt that's saying, no Jesus, no peace. I mean, this is a good thing. I would say, yeah, man, so. I want our players. And there's a lot of Christian football players, tons of them. But this would be a great thing for our, you know, our league. We want to, you know, say, hey, we need to get some balance.
Something positive.
Yeah, something positive here. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and that's a right thing. No Jesus. That we ask him to turn his shirt in. And we'll let someone else. And we have one of the guys, you know, who could be the face of our league, not even playing football, behind a desk somewhere, and they didn't want his media frenzy.
Right.
His media frenzy, which was great, because everywhere he went, he gave credit to Jesus Christ. He gave credit to the Lord, because, you know, God was the one that was blessing him and causing him to prosper and do well. And just makes me think today of just what you're seeing everywhere you turn. You know, it's not going to be popular, if you haven't figured that out, for the Jews or the Christians to be able to stand in respectively wherever their field is. There's all this political correctness, and, you know, tune in, stay with us, because we're two programs back to back, and keep watching VFN TV, because we're going to be showing you a trailer of a new movie by Kirk Cameron called Saving Christmas. You don't want to miss that, but, you know, you can't even bring up Christmas during the Christmas season. They want to talk about the holiday season, you know, the shopping season. No, it's Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. If you don't, make another holiday. Call it whatever, but it's Christmas. Don't change Christmas. Mm-mm. Don't take the Christ out of Christmas. And try to hide the gospel. Because right now, I mean, what the world is needing, especially young people that are looking up at these sports athletes, and they're watching the games, they're watching what they do, they admire them, they want to play like them, they want to play at that type of level. I mean, every kid, come on, you play football, every child that's played any kind of sport, you ask them, what do you want to do for a living?
Yeah.
Every kid says they're going to be an athlete. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to be in the Major League Baseball. I'm going to be in the NFL. That's what I'm going to do. No, son, are you going to read a book? No. I'm going to be in the NFL. Well, you know that not that many people go, yeah, but I'm going to be in
the NFL. I'm going to be the one.
And so they want to be like them. And this is a perfect opportunity to say, you know what? No Jesus, no peace. We don't want to be labeled and known for violence and hurting people, but we need something, you know, that's right. And I just want to encourage you during a time like this just to remember that, you know, Jesus is our only hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the only reason that we have anything, and that we can't deny him. no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. You need to love God more than your job, more than your status, more than what you think you may lose. You need to stand for God because he stood for you, and he'll have your back all the way to the end. We're going to stand for Jesus.
Amen.
We encourage you to do the same. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you. So when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Did you actually turn it like cool in here, or did you just kind of like heat? And okay, I'm on fire today. I don't know what it is. I'm like hot.
It was the turkey.
Oh, see,
extra spice, so cayenne,
extra cayenne.
Cayenne.
Cajun spice.
Cayenne. What's cayenne?
Cayenne pepper.
I've been poisoned. I've been a drone in my turkey. The cayenne. That's a keeper.
That's a good one.
That's a keeper.
That's like cayenne. Cayenne recipe.
Cayenne.
Cajun. It's a combination.
I just mixed it together.
Cayenne and Cajun. That's
the other ingredient.
Cajun.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back. Joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And boy, I wish I had time to talk about some K-On, but we will continue that. But, you know, we are going to
Let's do that. Kimosabe.
We're going to be talking about You and Me Forever, a great book by Francis Chan, Lisa Chan. They wrote this book about marriage, and the Lord just had them write this, and he wanted me able to sure to give a biblical perspective to marriage. And the whole thing is that marriage is supposed to be not about one another, but it really is about how we can glorify God through our relationship. You're going to watch a video of how the Chans incorporated this in their own life with their own family. They saw themselves getting together as a way of not just serving themselves. They said, you know what, we're going to serve a greater purpose, and that's God in our marriage and in our family. Watch this.
The Bible's so clear that if there's no heaven, if there's no life after this, then we would live completely differently.
This is, I will be
So Lisa and I have been married for 20 years now, and God has taught us so much. We've just seen how when it comes to the area of marriage and parenting, we don't see people really thinking through what's the outcome of this 100 years from now, 200 years from now.
With relationships, it's very easy for them to become very inward focused. And in marriage and even in parenting, it can become so much about what's going on between the two of us and how are you meeting my needs and what are you giving me that I should have from you, rather than a real upward focus of, you know what, we're both here as children of God. We're here for Him, for His purposes, for His kingdom. So that should change the way that we interact with one another. It should change our whole marriage and our whole family.
So right now we've got 5 kids, which I know some people think is just crazy, but we just love every one of them, and they're so unique, and we're already seeing God do such amazing things through each of them. After we had kids, you know, Rachel's born, and I'm just praying all the time, like, God, all I really care about is her eternal security, that she would know you and love you and live for eternity. So from day one, that's been our prayer. And it's like, okay, how can we raise her in such a way that she'll be strong?
Yes, through the Indian host.
And I'm just like,
they're
so
bending over backwards now.
We can't control that, right? We can't make them love God. But what we can do, what we can be really intentional about, is giving them an authentic picture of what it means for us to follow God. And so that our children can look in on our lives and say, you know what? Mom and Dad are the real deal. They really believe that God is worth sacrificing for. The different neighborhoods we've lived in, we try to be real intentional. And that's something we started in the very beginning. My husband was very intentional, like, we're going to have people live with us all the time. It's kind of cute. The girls would eventually start inviting neighbors over for dinner, and sometimes I'd think, well, they're not going to say yes. Sure, honey, go ahead. And sure enough, he said yes, he's coming over in a few minutes. I'm like, okay, I don't have enough food for all of us, but we're just going to eat a little bit less. And it was just so neat to see them realize that our home is open to everyone all the time. It's very cool to see the way they already have a heart for the poor.
So right now we're headed to the Tenderloin District of San Francisco. This district is about 1 square mile altogether. There are 586 low-income apartments, and 37,000 residents live inside of them. So I started working in the Tenderloin when I was 12. I went with my dad at first to the Boyd Hotel. I just watched him interact with the people and love on them, and there's so many stories of him just praying for people and things happening. I loved watching my mom go into her building and just how all the people, their faces would light up, and I watched that and I wanted to be a part of it.
Okay.
We had the big conference and I watched my sister Rachel just washing people's feet and the joy that came from that service. It was just amazing to see how we all grew in that kind of environment, even though it was really scary at first and took a while for us to get used to it. I know that we grew together as a family and individually in our relationships with God, the way that we viewed service and the things that we could do.
Mundane when days seem tiresome.
A lot of what you learn about God here is what it's like to have the Spirit come and give you power to witness, give you words to say. So we've just been walking around and meeting some of the tenants and bringing groceries. It kind of starts with meeting physical needs of people that are here so that they know and can tell that you care for them. And then after a while, you eventually get to conversations. And after being here for so long, I developed a lot of good friendships here.
When I look in scripture, as far as hospitality, it's this entertaining of even strangers. And I didn't see in the scripture where we had the right to say, no, this is my house and no one comes in, you know, but to really be open and say, we've got to understand that we hold everything as the Lord's.
Soon and very soon, my King is coming, robed in righteousness, crowned with love. When I see him, I shall. We're not interested in raising kids that are perfectly safe and protected and don't see hard things. We want them to see all of it, to know all of it, to understand that God's working and moving.
Someone needs a place to stay. We've got to let them stay here. And so the kids have just lived with all sorts of people through the years. And each time, what they've seen is, it's scary a lot of times at first and uncomfortable, but those have been our biggest joys in life. And that's the way it works in Scripture. It's like, if you're willing to let go and lose your life, you're going to find it. But if you try to hold on and keep everything safe and make it right the way you think it should be, you're going to miss out on so much. You're going to lose out on life.
To the place he has prepared for me, there my sin erased.
And when we look at the world nowadays, we just feel like it's getting harder and harder to really live the way Christ wanted us to. And so for our kids, it's going to be even more difficult. And so how do we parent in such a way that prepares them for the future? As a family, really is like a byproduct of being on a mission together. We're all serving the Lord together, and because we've been on this mission, it's like, I'm so proud of my kids.
And so that's our desire, is that they would see us living that way, that they would want to come along and be a part of what God is doing.
Amazing. That's normal. That's normal Christianity, that we have a chance and an opportunity to understand that, man, this is what God has brought us together for. Mm-hmm. You know, God didn't call us as Christians, as believers, to be a subculture to the world, but he's called us to be a counterculture, something that's outside of the everyday norm. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to follow the Lord for its, you know, I mean, the, not the Lord, the world for its guidance. We're supposed to follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in this book, which is, you know, basically truths they got out the Bible, right. that say that, listen, our life is not our own, that we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We've been purchased. There was a price paid for us, and that we live the rest of our lives to serve God in gratitude. And today you look at marriage and you say, so many people are looking for marriage for their own purpose. What can they get out of it? And that doesn't satisfy. Ultimately, it just dissolves and it comes to an end. But when we make everything that we do about Jesus and how we can glorify him, mm-hmm. The marriage is going to be so much better. The family is going to be so much better, because it's not about what each single one of us can get, but it's about how can we glorify God? What can we do while we're still on this earth to make the name of Jesus famous, to bring the light of the gospel around the world, to touch people who are hurting, and so that they can know him. There is a greater purpose for marriage, and that is so God can get all the glory. Thanks for joining in. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this. The author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.